to consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations.
Now those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth.
I want to thank Secretary Powell for his careful and powerful presentation of the facts.
A pack of lies. A pack of lies.
The United States government has, one way or another, ordered, authorized, permitted, tolerated, torture.
We're making tremendous progress, but there is much more to do to win the war on terrorism and defeat terrorism.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
The fact is, we do need better international governance to help spread the benefits of globalization, 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 globalization.
American world domination or paramountcy. Historically, the U.S. sought security, not domination.
Nothing's perfect in life, so you have an election that's not quite perfect.
Now was the time to come forward and say who specifically was on that energy task force and lift any kind of shadow that's still there.
We've been through this issue a number of times.
We need to make sure that the political, the economic, and the security infrastructure of that state is shaped and helped to come into being.
Weapons of mass destruction.
President Bush, not looking good. His ratings are down to 38. 38. That is lower than Dick Cheney's pulse. Oh, my God. In fact, his approval rating is so low, he's actually eligible for FEMA assistance now. That's how bad. And it gets worse. According to the new NBC Wall Street Journal poll, among African Americans, President Bush's approval rating, 2%. 2%. You know who the 2% are? Condoleezza Rice and Clarence Thomas. That's it. That's it. We got those two. That's it.
What do you think happened?
I believe they let the water in. That's what I believe, to keep everybody out the night walk.
Flooding the Ninth Ward in order to protect other neighborhoods. It's an extremely common belief among many in the shelter. The fact that many other neighborhoods were flooded doesn't diminish the array of vehement conspiracy theories about the levee break.
Why would they want the levee to break?
Poor black people. That's all. Just poor black people they want to get rid of.
I think they blew it up, man. I think they bombed it up. I think they blew it up with explosives.
It's not too far-fetched to think that, look, we got a bunch of poor black people here. We got to save these other neighborhoods. What we got to do, dump this in this ward, boom. I believe it.
If you live in Harlem, I ain't live on Park Avenue, and you dial 911, which address are the cops going to come to first?
Asked about efforts documented by historians to deliberately damage a New Orleans levee in 1927 at the time of the Great Mississippi Flood, the Army Corps of Engineers says this may have happened back then, but there is no way we would do something like that today.
Some senior military officials bristled when they saw the tape of Allison Barber, a Pentagon political appointee, appear to coach soldiers in Iraq on how to interact with President Bush during a teleconference.
But if he gives us a question that's not something that we've scripted, Captain Kennedy, you're going to have that mic, and that's your chance to impress us all.
The apparent scripting was not only clumsy, say some in the military, but unnecessary. Commanders in Iraq insist their troops are overwhelmingly upbeat.
Every visitor that comes over that talks to our soldiers leaves with a positive assessment. And those soldiers yesterday were given their opinion.
A Pentagon statement said, "We certainly regret any perception that they were told what to say. It is not the case." But the incident is raising questions about whether the administration is using the military to advance its agenda.
The video conference was set in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit, which Bush lightly acknowledged he could not safely visit. Interestingly, Tikrit was the backdrop for many of Saddam Hussein's propaganda videos. There was one Iraqi present for the video conference, Sergeant Major Akil, whose only role was to tell President Bush, quote, "I like you."
Scott, Tom. Why did the administration feel it was necessary to coach the soldiers that the president talked to this morning in Iraq?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're suggesting.
Well, they discussed the questions ahead of time. They were told exactly what the president would ask and they were coached in terms of who would answer what question and how they would pass them.
I'm sorry, sir. Are you suggesting that what our troops were saying was not sincere, or that what they said was not their own thoughts?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's what everybody's asking you. Why are you repeating the question?
Oh, I'm just asking why it was necessary to coach them.
Well, in terms of the event earlier today, the event was set up to highlight an important milestone in Iraq's history and to give the president an opportunity to once again express our appreciation for all that our troops are doing when it comes to defending freedom.
The Sheriff's Department in Contra Costa County says defense attorney Daniel Horowitz called Saturday evening to report that his wife was dead, and that the body of 52-year-old Pamela Vitale was found in the couple's remote home in the hills of Lafayette, which is east of Oakland.
We had Lafayette police officers respond to the scene. They arrived. They found a deceased 52-year-old female at that location. We do have our homicide investigators on scene right now, and we are treating this case as a homicide.
This administration is reaching out on purely religious basis. They may be doing so with Jewish groups, Catholic groups, as well as evangelicals. But right now the focus seems to be on evangelicals, and that seems to be, if you will, a mysterious political play that must have great import to them. Are these groups really that powerful politically that they can have this kind of influence on the White House, irrespective of where confidences were either broken or spoken between Rove and Dobson?
Look, the president's conservative base, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is in rebellion against this choice. This is a way of sending a signal, as Monty Python used to say, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more. It's a signal that they can be reassured that she's, quote, probably okay on the abortion issue.
Well, the big story today is President Bush has picked Harriet Myers to replace Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court. Here's what we know about Harriet Myers. Her name is Harriet Myers. That's all anybody knows about this woman. No, she's a lawyer, and she's never even been a judge. And what better place to learn than on the Supreme Court, really? Because this is a terrific training ground. It's good exposure for later in life. You know, you want to get a gig, you can say, hey, I was on the Supreme Court. So, you know, you learn all the basics. They teach you everything you know. It's fabulous.
This investigation is showing that these leaks grew out of what was a vicious behind-the-scenes war between the CIA and top officials at the White House over who to blame for the bad intelligence that took us into Iraq. We're going to hear more about this.
And the main unanswered question here is, why did Arthur Sulzberger, the newspaper's publisher, allow Judy Miller to hijack the reporting of that story and the editorial policy on that story? And the similarities with the Jason Blair case. Remember, after the Jason Blair scandal broke, we had a 7,000-word story that did not give a full account of what happened, especially about why is a major institution like the Times ignoring so many red flags.
Arianna Huffington, in this lengthy piece this morning, the New York Times says, Judy Miller is quoted, as saying that there was another source besides Scooter Libby that she dealt with on the Valerie Plame situation. She doesn't recall who that source was, looking at her notes and seeing the notation Valerie Flame. She got the name wrong. Do you buy this notion that she doesn't recall who this other source was?
No, of course not, Howie. In fact, I think this is the major unanswered question. We still don't know who her source was when it comes to revealing the identity of Valerie Plame. And to say that she does not recall is really as convincing as having Woodward and Bernstein saying that they do not recall who Deep Throat was. After all, these notes were just a few weeks old. When the Valerie Plame Bob Nova column appeared, and when the whole Washington and the whole journalistic community was talking about it. The truth is that, as Howie said, she did testify. The truth is that it's very clear from the stories today that she could have asked Scooter Libby to call her so that she could hear the timbre of his voice earlier. All of that could have happened. It did not happen because clearly Judy Miller is protecting another source that she still has not revealed to the American public.
Well, if the Constitution, though, is passed tomorrow, despite this blackout in Baghdad, despite all the threats from the insurgents, that would be a step forward. I assume you would agree with that.
No, I wouldn't. First of all, this Constitution is not derived from the will of the Iraqi people. It's pretty much have been dictated to the Iraqis by the United States. At a minimum, the United States played a heavy influence. And look at the last vote on the draft constitution, or the last vote that took place on January 30th. People said that that would be a step forward. And Iraq, if anything, has gotten worse.
There's no place for pastors in our holy pews.
That's right. The controversy over gay bishops just won't go away. And it's good to see Anglican Archbishop Peter Jensen maintaining the position that he's had for years.
The Bible does forbid us to bless homosexual unions or practicing homosexuals from joining the ministry of the church.
Unpopular, sure, but he's got something there, I think. The Bible's very clear on this in Leviticus, that a man should not lie with another man.
Oh, yes, and who could question Leviticus? Laws like putting to death those that curse their mother and father, it's just good old-fashioned common sense.
You get a lot less lip from teenagers if we had more respect for God's word on that one.
But which bits of the Bible are we still to believe? We asked Archbishop Peter Jensen to help us out.
Hello, Dr. Jensen.
How nice to see you.
Just wanted to congratulate you on returning the church to the Bible and the text of the Bible.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you.
I was just wondering, Dr. Jensen, do you agree with Exodus 35 that we should put to death those who work on the Sabbath?
Thank you. I always believe that the Bible is the truth and the Word of God.
So we should put to death those that work on the Sabbath?
Well, no, because you have to read the whole Bible.
Uh-huh.
When you read the whole Bible, you see that that's not true.
Where's the part in the Bible that says Exodus is not right?
That you've obviously cleaned your teeth. You don't have...
You're not ignoring the question here, are you, Dr. Jensen?
Sort of, what question is this?
Surely about putting people to death for not working on the Sabbath. So is there some... Where in the Bible does it say...
We don't do that anymore.
You're wearing glasses, Dr. Jensen. Doesn't it say in Leviticus 21:20 that those who have a defect of sight cannot take the communion of God?
Now, you know...
Nor dwarfs, nor hunchbacks, I think.
You've got the advantage of me. Shall we look it up?
Sure, we look it up.
Yes,
more than welcome to look it up, yes. Here it is, Leviticus.
You're so good looking.
Really, you don't want to say that, because a man shouldn't lie with a man like he would a woman, otherwise he's an abomination. That's Leviticus 18, isn't it?
I don't know. You are obviously well educated.
I'm seeking more education, Dr. Jensen, as to why is it that Leviticus 18 is still relevant, whereas Leviticus 21, 22, and all these others aren't relevant. Can you put out a new Bible with the true bits highlighted?
You're not.
It's very confusing,
Bible.
Sir. I'm just so confused.
I'm very impressed.
Which bits do we follow?
I do congratulate you.
They tried to pick you up, I think, Craig.
Yeah, lucky I had Leviticus to protect me.
The United States is extremely angry with you and your government. It accuses you of facilitating, providing safe haven, and now actively supporting the insurgency in Iraq. What are you going to do to stop doing all that, to stop allowing the insurgents into Iraq?
I wouldn't say this is true. It's completely wrong. You have many aspects of the problem. The first aspect is no country can control his border completely. And the example is the border between the United States and Mexico. And many American officials told me we cannot control our border with Mexico. But at the end, or they end up saying, you should control your border with Iraq. This is impossible. And I told Mr. Powell that for the first time we met after the war. I told him it's impossible to control the border.
What is your condition for helping the United States? And are you prepared to help the United States?
You mean in Iraq?
Yeah.
Definitely, we don't have any problem, and we say that publicly. They talk about stable Iraq, we have a direct interest in stable Iraq. They talk about unified Iraq, we have direct interest in unified Iraq. They talk about supporting the political process, we have interest in that, because that will help the stability. So there's no differences. We don't know what they want. I think they don't know what they want.
The Bush administration doctored a major report on the export of American jobs to cheap foreign labor markets before last year's presidential election. The Commerce Department report on offshore outsourcing was delayed for months. While it was rewritten to better fit with the administration's stand, its official stand that offshoring is good for the American economy. Bill Tucker reports.
This 12-page report cost more than $300,000 and was delivered to Congress over a year late.
It is a report by the Commerce Department on the impact of the offshoring of American jobs. Its release came only after a Freedom of Information Act filing by Manufacturing and Technology News, which first drew attention to the doctored report and under pressure from the House Science Committee, which funded the study.
I'm not sure if it's a lie or if it's just a cover-up, or they won't answer those questions, so I don't know. I asked the questions, but they didn't answer them. So what it is 12 pages of not breaking any ground on a really important issue.
For a decade now, the Environmental Protection Agency has been using a provision of the Clean Air Act to force dirty, older power plants to clean up. The provision is called New Source Review. But the Bush administration announced yesterday new rules for the program that make it easier for plants to avoid installing pollution controls. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reports.
The proposal would change what triggers the requirement for older power plants to install new pollution controls. Now plants have to clean up if they modify their facilities and increase annual emissions. Under the new policy, the EPA would allow power plants to modernize and increase the pollution they emit over the course of a year, as long as they don't exceed hourly pollution limits.
Hi, I'm Chris from Burbank, and my question is, should I lie on my internet dating profile?
No. Don't lie on the internet to attract others. But you can create a fantasy in your heart of who you are and what you believe you are. And what you have. For instance, you can tell her, the good news about me is that I'm hung like a wolverine. I inherited it from my great-great uncle, who is a mountain man, who lived with many four-legged beasts, keeping them happy. That'll work. That'll get you somewhere.
Hi, I'm Donnie from San Gabriel, California. And my question is, why do I always have to pay for dinner when I take a woman out?
You paying for the dinner comes with the dinner. It's a ritual and respect to the lady you're with. If you want her to pay for the dinner, she'd get a job at a slaughterhouse and date some of those pig monkeys.
My name's Matt, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My question is, why do women fake orgasms?
How do you know they're faking them? If they are faking them, you know it. Let them know you're happy about it. Don't try to bust their way of making you feel better by busting them in a way they faked feeling good for you. That doesn't turn out good for you at the end, does it? No, it doesn't. When her eyes roll back in her head and you can't see her pupils, and she's making sounds like a guttural animal that's been killed by a stomping bear, you've reached the mark, buddy.
Hi, I'm Robert. I'm from Arizona. I'm just turned 40, and my doctor says I need to start getting regular prostate exams. But I'm a little worried about him doing it. Is there any way I can do it myself?
Whoa! That is one! Woo!
Bet you had to think a lot before you asked me that one. But I got the answer. Don't even think about it. Ridiculous. Why spend your time in a place that you aren't when you can be in the place that you are? Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. 99% of what you worry about never materializes. Anticipation is the mother of all boop ups. Oh, never mind that.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. My question is, it takes my boyfriend a long time to get an erection. Is this my fault?
No, I don't think it's you. Your boyfriend is suffering from an antisocial personality disorder. And that's what that is. It causes the blood to stop from running south. And there's not enough blood to make the meat go big. You can help him by enhancing the intimacy, by doing things with your little tingly parts that he has never experienced.
Under an electron microscope, flu viruses look like spiky creatures, akin to tiny hedgehogs. H5N1 may seem unassuming in the lab, but to be sure, it has the ability to cause a public health crisis.
You've been a cult member of the Republican Party for so long, you don't remember any other kind of life. So, you agreed with the White House when it smeared Joe Wilson 2 years ago, for he dared contradict your great leader's pronouncements about Iraq. And you want to agree with the White House again, now that it's smearing him some more. But you can't help noticing everything Joe Wilson said was right. And everything the Bush administration said, well, it was wrong. Joe Wilson told us there was no proof Saddam Hussein tried buying uranium from Niger. George Bush said there was. That proof never turned up. Neither did the uranium. So why don't you point that out to your Republican leaders? Are you afraid you'd be left behind? Mm-hmm. Hey, Republican Rehab can help. Not only have we deprogrammed Republicans, but also members of the Heaven's Gate cult, escapees from the Jim Jones Temple, Tom Cruise's ex-girlfriends, and three disillusioned store managers from a Walmart in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
The real gripe here is that it seems that some wealthy people got notified of the terror plot before the great unwashed, before the others. Now, the Daily News in New York has a headline, Rich Got Terror Tip. Rich Got Terror Tip. Okay, let's get logical about this, folks. Let's play logic with this. This is as it should be.
About the curfew, because I wasn't sure of the time of the curfew, because I had been getting various reports on the curfew. I got an 8 and a 10 and a 12, so I knew there was a lack of communication between the various police, you know. So I asked the policeman, and I knew that I should get the positive answer then. And this other guy interfered, and I told him he shouldn't be interfering, because this is a conversation between me and the man on the horse. And I don't even know who he was. I really don't. But I knew he was a policeman. And I started walking across the street, and bam, I got hit. And that was all I remember, other than trying to block the blows that, you know. And all I, you know, I had never caused nobody no problem, you know. I had been here 28 years, and I love New Orleans, really I do. And they got some good people here and bad people, you know, both ways. At no point during this allocation did they say that I was under arrest or anything. They didn't read my rights. Anything. All I know is this guy attacked me and said, I will kick your ass. And those were his exact words. I will kick your ass. And he proceeded to do it.
The letter from the commanding general of the Marine Corps came here, to the Mercer home on Capitol Hill, where the password is peace.
He wanted to recruit me for my skill in the Arabic language.
Guess what? She doesn't speak Arabic. The general thought she did. He urged Barbara Bobby Mercer to seize the opportunity to defend our nation and spread the message of freedom.
Well, I just thought they were pretty desperate for wanting an 85-year-old